Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. To be a part of tonight's show, call 602-399-7131. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat.
Hey everybody, it's the Gabcast. Tonight we have a full house for you. We've got everybody here. Onan, Jazmunda, and B-Dub.
Hello.
And you. And you, Eddie.
And me, Eddie Dean. Welcome to the show tonight.
And we're going to have other people calling in. It's just going to be packed.
It is going to be packed. If you guys want to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 602-399-7131. Again, that's 602-399-7131. So I noticed on the forum this week, we had a new visitor, or an old visitor, that posted again by the name Art Bell.
Art Bell did come back and post, didn't he?
He did.
Who's Art Bell?
Good question.
Some guy.
He's a lackey. Yeah,
and I must say, I did make a prediction that he wouldn't be back this year, so
I think we all did.
That's a bonk.
We all bonked because I think we all pretty much agreed last week on last week's Gabcast that he would not be posting in the year 2014.
But was it really a post? I mean, it was just sort of.
It could have been somebody else.
Well, no, I think it was him. It's not a George Norrie situation where it could have been an intern. But I don't know. I really want Art to engage with the audience and not just do a snipe George Norrie every now and again.
I think it's always been a bit of a disappointment for all of us is that he'll post, you know, and give us just a smidgen and then he's gone. The only time that changed was when he took on the
Penguin.
The one fellow, yeah, and
Mr. Hankey.
Other than that, he's pretty much been this is my side of the story, and see ya.
Yeah, I enjoyed your post, Jazz, where you were imploring him to get the word out so he didn't have to start from scratch, building up the excitement and the base of his loyal followers in 2015 when and if he comes back.
Yeah, like, look, I understand he can't go on radio and he can't do any of that stuff, but he's got powerful tools at his disposal. He's got social media, and I know he's not a young person, but you have a look. A lot of celebrities are using social media to build their brand and, you know, engage with their audience, and they're doing it very successfully. And, you know, all right, Art Bell's no Brad Pitt or whatever, or Ashton Kutcher.
Sure
he
is.
he could still engage with his audience. He can use artbell.com. Yeah. You know, get the word out there. Don't wait for 2 years or 19 months whatever it is. And, you know, start getting the audience excited. Do a blog once a week, once a month, you know.
He might be limited from doing that. I don't know. But
do you think? I don't know.
Because of his non-compete, Onan? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. You know, here's my take on it. I've got X amount of dollars. Do I want to risk losing any part of that to legal fees? And I don't know how big his chunk of money is, but, you know, if all of a sudden I was getting hit up by an attorney, even if the charge was bogus, you know, you still got to pay those fees.
Yeah.
So
I don't see I think I disagree with that because I don't see.
He can't use Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, you know. I mean, they don't own his entire personal life. I mean, I think that just prevents him from broadcasting in any amount or any way over the airwaves.
You remember he said that, and I'm paraphrasing badly, but that it covered, his non-compete covered every type of media, even those that hadn't been invented yet. So I took that to mean that they've got a pretty binding contract on this guy.
Yeah. I mean, he still posts on Facebook on occasion. But the post on BellGab was kind of a cut-and-paste job. But he did include a special note for us saying, as I promised to post on this forum, you know, with updates, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah.
So he did kind of tailor it towards Belgab in a minor way, which makes me feel very special.
Me too.
Oh, so special.
I'm yeah, sure look, he thinks about us every night.
Yeah, he does. I think he just really could be using what's at his disposal to keep the audience engaged, keep them there and knowing about him. And if he posts something, I might retweet it or get the word out there myself, and that's further, you know, building his audience. And I just don't want 2 years to roll around and, you know, he's got to start from scratch. And if he thought he wasn't getting the numbers at Sirius with their, you know, marketing machine behind them, I don't know what he's going to expect come day one at upbell.com.
I'm really concerned about what his idea of what the internet's going to be for him providing his broadcast as opposed to what the reality will be. I hope that he has, you know, a gajillion listeners, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to be in the thousands, and that might stymie him. I don't know.
You think that might stop him from continuing
the show because of
low numbers? I think he's going to definitely have to build it up no matter what.
His basic contention was that he didn't have a large enough audience when he was with Sirius.
For color base.
Yeah, I don't see how he's going to make that a larger base just working out of a website.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see that either. It can't, unless he does what Jazz says and takes to social media and stirs up the crowd. Gets people excited, you know?
Yeah,
And it doesn't have to be George Norrie bashing. It can be his thoughts on whatever, these pyramids being discovered underwater, his thoughts on the UFO flap and whatever.
Yeah, no matter what subject he brings about, so there's going to be people that are going to listen.
Yeah,
I agree.
He can talk about a movie he saw, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, his last post was about the Clear Channel letting go or firing or moving in a different direction, however you want to put it. Of John B. Wells. And it was he linked to an article, a severely biased article, in my opinion. But isn't that what his post was saying? Was go read this article. It's well written. I don't think he said that he agreed with the information that was there. But I think I seem to remember the words, it's well written or worth a minute of your time to read it.
Yeah, I skimmed the article and didn't think it was well written. And so,
was it about the treatment of
J.B. Wells? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if someone from J.B., John, the Caravan, the Midnight, whatever the hell you want to call it, the John B. Wells media machine, like they had a PR intern write that.
Yeah. The byline, somebody pointed out the byline was whatever the website was, CTS staff or something like that. So whoever wrote it didn't want to put their name on it, or I seem to believe that it was definitely a PR move, or possibly written by John himself, the way that the way it was bashing Clear Channel. It really made them sound, Clear Channel and Premiere and George made them sound extremely vindictive and using John's ratings to get rid of him. Out of jealousy, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Yeah.
Has anybody actually seen the numbers? I mean, I guess we really have no way to verify the numbers that were cited in that article.
And I would love to know what Art's numbers were at his height. I mean, I've heard so many different figures over the years. I actually heard an episode recently where he mentioned 15 million. I don't know how accurate that is.
That's per week, though, isn't it?
I have no idea. I just remember that being thrown out, and that was quite recently, which I heard that. And it was from a show from, you know, 97 or 98. So, you know, considering that article, what did that mention? It said he had 300,000 listeners, George?
Somewhere around there.
I mean, if that's true, he's really bled an audience.
But George keeps saying, well, we've got 500 affiliates now. We're growing every day.
But isn't, with the affiliate numbers, isn't his show packaged with other more popular and successful programs?
Yeah, like if you get Rush Limbaugh, you have to take Coast. Mm.
So that really inflates the affiliate numbers for George.
Yeah. I think larger stations have dropped him, and maybe some smaller ones just take it.
If this is true, if all this is true and the numbers are bleeding and, you know, affiliates are dropping like flies, how can they extend his contract? That just doesn't make sense.
Because he's a good dog.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just not being, he's being paid peanuts, and better to pay someone peanuts than have to go and find someone who's actually good and worth something.
And to make sure that he toes the company line whenever he's asked to, you know. Yeah, I don't know how they come up with the ratings, and I guess that the radio ratings are not made public.
Yeah, I've looked a couple of times. I can never find anything.
Wonder why that is.
I remember calling into a radio show in the mid-80s in Pittsburgh, and there was a discussion about how they're not even allowed to discuss ratings or how the ratings work on the air. That gets them in some sort of big trouble. I'm like, wow, this is really too secret for anyone. So, I don't know.
Are the ratings, how are they gathered? Are they the same as the TV ratings?
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, the TV ratings, it's the Nielsens that gather those, and they have sample families that fill out or go online and fill out some sort of form every week and keep a log of what they're watching.
As a kid, we got two times we were selected as a family to what we watched, and they sent us a little booklet, and we had to write down what we watched and, you know, when the TV was on, when it wasn't on.
Yeah.
But now, I think in Ohio is one of the states where Nielsen's always pulling data, and some people just have a box on top of their TV set. And now that's all I know.
And the box probably connects to the internet or connects somehow and just takes the data right off the TV.
Probably.
When you're watching what you're watching.
Yeah. Speaking of ratings, though, what do you think Bateman's show? How many people are listening to him?
I listen.
Nice segue.
Yeah, that was great. It's almost like we're professionals at this or something.
It's almost.
My God.
I worked on that one all day, guys.
I listened to a Richard C. Hoagland show. I didn't listen to the whole thing because Richard C., all you really need to do with that guy is just wind him up a little bit with a hint of a question, and he goes for 20 minutes or so, you know, about the data and about him working with Cronkite and him working on some NASA project early on in the 60s or 70s or something. I mean, it's really funny. If you look at the SoundCloud audio waves, you can see where Bateman chimes in, and, you know, because it's a higher peak, and you can see these long lines of lower audio peak where Richard C. was just talking.
And I was thinking about that. As a fairly new interviewer on the radio, what kind of clout would you have? How much of a challenge would you want to put to someone who, okay, he's a hack, but he's a pretty big personality in the paranormal, so would Bateman be doing himself a disservice by being more challenging than he was?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty amazing that Bateman gets these high profile paranormal guests, you know?
But it's one of two things. Either he's developing a really good reputation or these people are desperate to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah. It's the latter.
Well, I don't want to take anything away from Bateman because he's certainly, he's done a hell of a lot more than I have done, so I'm certainly not going to look down my nose at him.
If you look at like the paranormal podcasts that are available out there, you'll see the same people on. They just kind of make a rotation through all these different podcasts.
Have you, Yeah. I don't want to take this off of Bateman because I really do kind of want to keep it about him. But have you noticed, I've listened to a handful of the other shows, and my God, are they bad.
This one included.
Really horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, some of them are pretty horrible, but there are a handful of pretty good ones
out there.
But there aren't a lot. Some of them are just horrible. Like, just the sound quality is just unlistenable. Well,
I wasn't even going with the technology so much as I was. I can't remember. It was a woman. It was like in the first week that Dark Matter was doing or opening up shows. And there was some woman who was talking, and my gosh, she was worse than I am at trying to make a thought. She was getting paid for it, I would hope. Anyway, she sucked.
Well,
okay, help me out here, guys.
You know, no, I was sorry.
I'm hoping that wasn't Crazy Gail, the woman that's stalking Brent Spiner.
I don't know. I only caught like 2 seconds of that thing on the forum, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I think Bateman's also able to get some really great guests because he's got WABC behind him, I believe. So I guess that would have some clout when trying to, you know, putting the emails out there to get guests on. He's getting some great guests on there and some really interesting topics. So good luck to him. He's doing very well.
He's one of our own. He had Bill Barnes, Peter Davenport, and as I mentioned before, Richard C. Hoagland. You know, those are the three that I saw. And I know that he's interviewed many more. From not just the paranormal field, but he was doing a show about some legal issues. I didn't listen to the show, but I was browsing through his show thread or his podcast thread, and people were talking about this one instance, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't about paranormal. It was about some legal issues or some, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what it was, but so it's not all paranormal.
Well,
I just received a PM from Bateman. He wants to call in, so I'm going to tell him to do so.
Call in.
The number is 602-399-7131.
Number again, so I can write it in the...
602-399-7131. It's 602-399-7131. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Did you get it? Okay. People in the chat room said, "Damn, Eddie, that was a good George impression." Did I do a George impression?
I wasn't listening to you, so yeah. I don't know.
I guess so. I don't know if that's
maybe you just suck.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, if you're complimented as somebody, you're like George Nuri. Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's not a good thing.
So while we are waiting for the Bateman call, did you guys watch that YouTube video of the guy getting arrested in Australia?
I did.
Oh, yes.
I have the audio of that. If somebody, one of you guys has the link, can you link that to the chat room so people can watch it at their leisure in the chat room?
Hang on, I'll get it.
I think Dub had a link on the... Anyway, so here's the audio of this Australian guy. He's in handcuffs, and there's a camera on the other side of a police car. And it's kind of grainy. There's a lot of background noise, but
yeah, it looks like it was a while ago as well.
Was it?
I don't know how recent it is, yeah. I don't know.
Did you recognize that guy? I mean...
Yeah, it's my dad.
It's your dad. Okay, so...
good old dad.
Yeah.
Let's see, I got to get that. Okay, here we go.
Classic.
But you just assured me that I could speak.
You'll sit down inside the car. You're not assuring anything. You're under arrest.
Look, I'm under what? Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis before.
Get some cups.
Why did you do this to me?
Up in the car.
Get some cups. For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir.
Oh,
yes. I see that you know your judo well. Woodland. And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? Now, get your hands off me.
Oh, well, we've only got one
car. Ta-ta,
and farewell.
Sorry,
just getting in the car.
One car, look. They even
broke. And then they throw him in the car and they drive him away. Yeah. How dare you, sir? That's the
Are
best.
You ready to receive my limp penis?
I got it right here.
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? How dare get your hands off me?
Get your hands off me! How dare you, sir? That's the best, man. I had to isolate. I got a bunch of isolated audio clips for that that I'll be playing throughout the show.
Yeah, there's some really choice stuff there.
I want to do that. If I ever get arrested, I hope I never get arrested, but if that ever happens, I want to do an impression of this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they will give you a shot for sure.
Have you guys ever been arrested? Anybody?
I have not.
I have been.
Really?
Well,
all right.
Do tell.
No, Jazz. It's not really.
Jazz, have you been arrested?
No, never. I've seen people be arrested, but.
I was in Colorado. I was somewhere on, I don't even remember the highway, but I was heading east out of Boulder. I got pulled over for speeding, and they wanted me to pay the fine right on the spot. I didn't have enough money to pay it right on the spot. So they took me to their little jail.
What fuck?
Yeah, this was in the early 70s. And
sounds more like a robbery than an arrest.
Yeah.
Well, they took me, they put me in there, and this was on a Friday night. And Saturday morning comes, and I'm expecting somebody to bring me some breakfast, and nobody shows, and I'm thinking, well, certainly they'll bring me some lunch. Nobody shows. Kind of like, fuck. Maybe they'll bring dinner.
God, nobody shows up. Dicks.
Did they? So nobody showed up. Nobody showed up on Saturday. Nobody showed up on Sunday. The only thing I had was water.
Wow.
And Monday morning, the sheriff comes in and brings me this huge fucking breakfast. He goes, sorry, man. He said, sorry, sir. We forgot you were in here.
Oh, great.
So he's buying me off with a breakfast, and they're dropping the charges and this. And, you know, a friend of mine asked me, why didn't you?
Charges?
Yeah.
Speeding?
Yeah, because I couldn't pay the bill. No, they got me on vagrancy, and it was a bad time. I think they were just hoping somebody had some money. And when I didn't, they just kind of, we'll put this young punk in there. Anyway.
We'll teach him a lesson, slicker.
They sure as fuck did teach me a lesson. I don't go to that part of the country anymore.
This would be an excellent time for someone to bust out the redneck voice and do the sheriff.
Was his name Roscoe P. Coltrane?
Yeah, you know.
Good.
I don't remember anything about the guy except that he opened up the cell door and said I could leave, and I was fucking gone.
Hey, boy, what do you think you're doing in this state? Yeah. Driving your car?
Driving your car too damn fast.
You know you got a broken taillight.
It was kind of a scary time, you know. I can guarantee you that after 2 days of not eating, you're fucking hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So did you have a toilet in the cell that they put you in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, at least that was there.
Well, God. Were you in your cell by yourself?
Yeah, I was the only one there.
Well.
So that's good.
It was a long 2 days, but
see,
yeah.
you could have died in there, and then Monday morning and been like, we're going to have to hide the body.
Whoops, go get the shovels.
If I'd have been on some special medication, yeah, they just pulled me up back and don't say nothing,
boys. We're
going
to need a bag of lime. We're going to need a bag of lime and some lawn darts.
And some candles.
Go over and get Billy Bob. Nothing. He's got that mine on his property nobody uses.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck him down to mine.
That's scary shit.
Was it a small town, or I'm assuming it was a pretty small town.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was now. It was a long time ago.
Wow.
Well, I got arrested once. I got pulled over. I was doing 50 miles an hour, and the speed limit was 60. It was like
there you go.
1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So they gave you the old man ticket.
And so they get me out of the car and they make me do the sobriety test or whatever, and I screw it up because I'm having a panic attack or whatever.
Right. What'd they make you do? Did they make you walk the line or
follow the count backwards? Follow the pen. You got to walk the line, recite the alphabet backwards, and all this
other
crap.
You know what? That's such bullshit because I've tried to do that when I'm sober. And, yeah. I can't.
I don't think
I could do the alphabet backwards.
No one passes that. So they haul me off to the jail, and they start doing this bullshit where they're trying to scare me. And so I'm standing there with handcuffs on. I can't see because they took my glasses. And this guy comes out of the jail with rubber gloves on. He's like, "We got ourselves a shit thrower tonight, boys." Like some guy in the jail is tossing shit everywhere.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, the whole time this is happening, I'm telling myself, I'm not going to go to jail. I'm not going to go to jail. Right. I'm not going to go to jail.
Denial is wonderful, isn't it?
They do a search. They search me. They couldn't find any weapons or contraband of any kind. And now they're standing around. They're going, what the hell are we going to do with this guy? And they eventually sent the captain out. And the captain came over and kind of looked at me. And they went back in the office. And then they finally let me take a breathalyzer test.
Finally.
They thought I was drunk.
Right.
And so they finally let me take a breathalyzer test. And they're like, "You can sign away your right, but that means you lose your life, your license for a year."
For a year, yeah. If you
and
refuse
I'm
to take
like,
the
I'm
test.
I'm not going to do that. Give me the goddamn test, man.
Fuck yeah, yeah.
So he gives me the test, and I was like, I had a beer like 5 hours before. It was like 0.00000. Was infinitesimally small amount of alcohol in my system.
How long? I'm sorry to interrupt, but how long ago was this?
It was 10 years.
Okay,
10
so
years.
The alcohol, the limits were probably still at 0.1, right?
0.1 or 0.08, something like that. And so at this point, now they realize that they've got me there in handcuffs and I haven't done anything wrong. And now they're looking around at each other like, what are we going to do?
What's the probable cause? Well, I guess that you failed the field sobriety tests.
And so now they're looking at each other and they're trying to figure out, like, what are we going to do with this guy? And the captain comes back out and says, "Take him back to his car now."
This boy back to his car now.
And that was like, suddenly they were like, "Oh, come right this way, sir. And here he goes, sir."
Oh, yeah. It's
and,
all sir and ma'am.
He took
after
me back
that.
To my car, and I drove away, and I went home. But that was just some young punk who was trying to, you know, thought he was going to put one over on me. And he wanted what they really wanted me to do is incriminate myself.
Right.
But I wouldn't do that.
So you didn't tell him about the dead hooker in the trunk,
or the weed. He asked for permission to search my car when I was in the back of the police cruiser, and I told him no. But the way he did it was like, "Hey, you don't mind if we search a car, buddy?
You know, if you don't have nothing, you got nothing to hide. You know,
hey, buddy, hey, pal,
it'll be okay. It's well within your rights to say yes." Sure.
Yeah, and I was like, "No, you can't do that."
And that probably pissed him off, didn't it?
Hang on,
he wasn't
guys.
Happy.
Uh oh, Onan's on call this evening, ladies and gentlemen. So he's getting a call from the hospital, I suppose.
Yeah.
But we have a caller on the line. Hold on.
Is it Mr. Bateman?
Hold on. I don't know.
How are you?
You're on the air.
Hey, guys. It's Bateman.
Hey. What's up, man?
What's going on?
I think it's...
What was that audio you were playing? It sounded like a 17th century aristocrat.
It was an old YouTube video from some guy getting arrested in Australia. Yeah, he did sound like an old English aristocrat, didn't he?
Yeah, when you say a long time ago, are we talking 6 months? Are we talking 100 years?
Cause it looked like it was from the 80s.
Yeah.
There's
really no way to know. Looked like it was dubbed off an old VCR tape or something.
Well, listen, regarding the, I guess, the speculation in that thread, I'm in a bit of a delicate position with this, so I have to kind of be careful about what I say. But the speculation in the thread is surprisingly not far off.
The In Your Show thread?
Yeah.
In the Dark Weekend podcast thread, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the speculation about... Can you give us...
The speculation is about a certain radio show. Could, you know, I'm not saying which radio show. Could be any radio show. Let's say, for the sake of argument, it's the Rusty Humphries program.
Right.
The Rusty Humphries program may or may not have put feelers out.
Okay.
Interesting.
And one little piece of information is going to determine how I respond to the Rusty Humphries program.
Okay.
No, I'm clueless.
Is there a message board?
It's probably better. I mean, a couple people started to figure it out, but, you know, beyond that, like I said, I can't get too specific. There's been phone calls and emails about this going back and forth over the course of the last week. Some people who know Premiere. Shouldn't have said that, should I?
No,
we can vape that out.
Yeah, we can take that out. Go ahead.
Can you really? Do we have a dump button over there?
No, we don't have a dump button.
We're lulling you into a false sense of security so you can hang your ass.
So you were saying the Rusty Trombone Show
has been shut the fuck up now.
The Rusty Trombone Show has been stealing guests?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely on the radar screen. Why, I don't really know. The very informed speculation that I hear is that I think it does bother them that I do have WABC behind me. I think that raises my profile enough that it makes them nervous. The overture that was indeed made could be for a myriad of reasons. Someone who knows the radio company inside and out has told me to be very, very careful. I'll tell you right now that the biggest concern is this, that they could lock me up with a non-compete. So if I do, quote unquote, the Rusty Humphries program, they could work the contract in such a way that they could put me on maybe once every 6 months and they would prevent me from doing anything else on the side.
That sounds familiar, because didn't Rusty Humphries invite you to do a Friday night special bit or segment?
That is true. So
interesting.
It has gone. Yeah. So it's gone beyond that now. It sounds to me like they've run some things up the flagpole. I have to be clear. I have not received an official offer. And as I said, there is one piece of information that I'm waiting for that will determine how I respond to them. It seems to me that the weekend procedure has changed. You look at somebody like, you know, any of the other weekend guys that are over at the Rusty Humphries program right now, they seem to be able to pick their own guests and their own topics. It seems that with the departure of a weekend host, that procedure has changed. Why, I don't know. Maybe the guests and the topics that this former host had did not comport with the ideas that this radio company had about what they wanted to put on the air. I don't know. But if that creative control has been eliminated, there's no reason to do the Rusty Humphries show.
Absolutely. Is this something that was a goal of yours when you started this whole thing? Or are you content with what you're doing now, your podcast?
I'm pretty content with the trajectory that it's on.
Right.
To be perfectly honest, I don't think I need the Rusty Humphries program. It seems that it's a shell of what it was. It seems like the road that they're going down now. Look, it's an infomercial at this point. If that's what they want, great. You know, they've got 570 stations. They've got a lock on that, okay? Cumulus only has, I don't know, 40 talk stations. In terms of the talk format, Clear Channel and Premiere have that completely locked up, and they can put whatever programming they want on there. But, you know, I can make that determination, as can any host who is approached by them. They can make the determination whether or not they want to provide that content. And as a weekend host, first of all, I don't know how much money they're going to be throwing at me. I can't imagine it's a whole lot. I think they take advantage of the fact that they know that guys who are smaller, less well-known broadcasters are going to jump at the chance to be on those 570 stations.
Absolutely.
And they're going to live with whatever restrictions are put in place.
Yep.
Personally, I'm not willing to do that, and I don't need them. Would it be nice to be on that number of stations? Of course. But if they just want me to be a liner card reader, as you know, some DJs, that's just what they are. They're called liner card readers.
Just empty heads.
They don't do any work of their own. They don't, you know, try to inject some creativity into any of their breaks. They just, you know, oh, this is what's coming up this weekend. You know, you can win tickets to Six Flags. Blah.
It seems like they're looking for somebody that's going to possibly toe the company line, which the former weekend host would not do. And you don't strike me as the type of person that would be content in doing something like that.
No.
It's just a hunch, just the way you post on the forum. I don't know.
Can I ask, you don't have to go into figures, but currently are you making any money from your podcast? Are you... you being paid by WABC, or do you make money from advertising?
There's no advertising currently.
Yeah.
WABC would like to monetize it. That is currently out of my hands. I mean, I plan to sell advertising. Look, first of all, I own all the content. WABC does not own any of the content. I do. I
so
plan to sell
involvement?
Advertising at some point. I mean, I'm not going to make it so... so obnoxious where I'm going to have 5 minute or 6 minute stop sets. Of course I'd like to sell advertising for it. What I will never do is make it subscription based. You know, first of all, people get pissed off having to pay for something that originally was free. That's number one.
Yeah.
And number two, to be very candid, the show is not where I want it to be yet. So I would actually feel bad about making people plunk down money, for a show that right now, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, sometimes it's an hour and 40 minutes. I just want to get more of a structure hammered out, and I want to make it more of a machine that, you know, that it's something I'm positive that I can crank out every single week with a consistent level of quality.
Yeah.
For that reason, I will not do subscription-based right now, and I don't have plans to do it in the future. I don't think it's right to lock down your content that way. There's basically two models right now in the podcast and radio industry, and that's subscription-based or ad-based. And ad-based just makes more sense to me.
Even though I think subscriptions would chase people off. Even though people don't like a large number of ads like the Rusty Humphrey shows has, it seems to be just a giant ad sometimes.
Rusty Humphreys.
Whatever, yeah.
I keep thinking Rusty Trombone.
Rusty Trombone show.
You've sold me on this Rusty Humphrey guy. I might go check him out. He sounds like a lot of fun.
Any plans to do a live show, Bateman?
Here's the thing about that, too. The show may be moving to Sunday nights live in the near future. Take that for what it's worth. I'm perfectly happy with what I'm doing with it right now, and that is pre-records that I have some control over. I can make a little edit here or there. I'm doing less and less editing.
That's when you know you did a great show, is when you can just throw it up there and not have to worry about it, or you don't have to do any edits.
That's where I want to get it to.
Yeah, what's your goal with this? Are you doing it at the moment just for the love of doing it? Are you doing it to turn it into something you can make money of it or a career out of it?
Less interested in the money part of it, and I know that many people would say something like that, and they would be BSing you, or they would be disingenuous saying that. But I can honestly say that my only motivation thus far has been to put out a radio show that I would want to listen to. After Art left, you know, there was that chasm, you know, that gaping void that, you know, has not been filled by, say, the Rusty Humphries program.
Right.
So,
the giant
podcast.
Gaping void that wasn't filled by Rusty Trombone.
Rusty doesn't have the trombone to fill a void.
What's that, Joe? Sorry.
I said Rusty doesn't have the trombone to fill a void.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Poor Rusty.
So you know what I like is you can use real bumpers. You know, you can. Do you select the music that you use?
I do pick all of it. Yeah.
And the station that's behind you pays for those royalties.
Right. They have the you know BMI, you know whatever right. it is, those licenses. Honestly, I might end up having to pull those off the podcast because I know. Yeah, other shows they pull the music out. You know, you can talk over the music for a little bit, but I know that there's some weird thing where like if you play more than 30 seconds, it's a problem. It's kind of a nebulous area right now. But
so for like podcasts, for podcasts like the Gabcast, could we get away with playing whatever music selection we want for say 15 seconds, 30 seconds, going in. Into breaks and coming out of breaks.
I think you might have to sign up for one of those BMI licenses.
Yeah.
I would err against, I wouldn't put it up on the podcast, but if you want to play it as, you know, a bumper here or there, I can't imagine that, you know, the, recording industry goons are going to descend on you for it.
Yeah, are these
like
things
I,
being
like
placed?
Like I said, because I feel confident enough using it on my show because I know that the radio station pays for those licensing fees.
Right.
But like I said, I may end up pulling it off the podcast just to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, I've heard other podcasts that completely get rid of the music. I think, well, that other show, when you down...
They used to do it. I haven't had a Streamlink subscription for a long time, but yeah, they used to pull it off the downloads.
Yeah, it was just the voice,
and it really used to actually affect the mood of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when Art used to go out,
it definitely makes a difference. Yeah.
It does.
So you don't realize how well the music sort of enhances what you're listening to.
You guys have any other questions for Bateman?
Hey, Bateman, I'm back, by the way.
Oh, Owen's back.
Sorry about that, guys. I missed a lot of what you said, so I'll be listening to it on the download. Good job, though, Bateman. You know, keep it up. I hope someday you're filthy rich and you can adopt me.
Hey,
yeah, and you can Bateman, pay for our bumpers. Go ahead,
Bateman.
Yeah, right. I'll pay the licensing fees.
Woohoo!
Unscreened Caller gave us. We asked Unscreened Caller a couple weeks ago, "What's the best pizza place in New York?" We thought we'd get your opinion.
Good question.
Without a doubt, it's a place called Artichoke, and they have a couple different locations. One is in the West Village. One's on the Lower East Side, and they've got another one, I think, in the Meatpacking District. Epic. Absolutely epic. They have an artichoke slice, as you might imagine, and it's basically like artichoke soup. I don't know how they... I mean, this is like a miracle of physics. I have no idea how they're able to do this. It is artichoke soup on top of a slice of pizza, basically.
Really?
I mean, that's a meal for the day.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So the artichoke soup is the... would be in place of the sauce, the red sauce they usually put?
Basically, yeah. It's I'm dead serious. It's like 2 inches thick.
That actually sounds really good.
Sort of whatever it is.
It's like a pesto. Yeah. Pesto is usually what? Pine nuts and maybe they substitute artichoke for whatever they put in pesto. Maybe that's how they pull that off.
I don't know what it is, but it's epic. And they also have a margarita slice, which is, I don't think it's mozzarella cheese, actually. I think it's, ricotta cheese. Ricotta cheese and, like, really fresh tomato sauce that they clearly make themselves. Like, this doesn't come out of a can.
Where is this place?
Meatpacking District. There's one on the Lower East Side, and I think there's one in the West Village. And the one in the West Village is actually right around the corner from the Comedy Cellar, where Louis C.K. is pretty much all the time.
So, Jazz, when you go visit New York, if you guys hook up Bateman, you got to take him to go get some pizza.
Yeah,
and see Louis C.K.
Bateman's offered to host my wife and I, so that was really nice of him.
Wait, what does the word host mean?
Well, whatever you want it to mean.
No, but what do you want it to mean?
Well, Jazz was actually concerned that I was going to sell him and his wife into either white slavery or I was going to sell their organs on the black market.
Well, it's always a concern when you meet a stranger on the internet.
That's right.
But I don't feel like you're a stranger anymore, actually. I trust you with my wife.
I don't know about your liver, though, Jazz. I mean, it's pretty well pickled by now, right?
Yeah.
I've got a few more good years left in it, but I wouldn't be selling it for a premium price.
I wouldn't be able to get top dollar for it, so no, I don't know.
You could probably get at least 2 slices of pizza for it, though.
Yes, definitely. Oh, you
and
can
that right there
the
might
pizza.
Be worth it. I think I've made up my mind then.
Yeah. I'd put that plan in action. I think I'd go for that.
Well, listen, guys, I got to get going. But to recap, yes, feelers were put out. Various reasons why that might be. The non-compete issue, potentially. It could be that they sort of want to nip this in the bud. They want to make sure that it doesn't get bigger than it is, which it I think definitely has the possibility is certainly there. And what else?
Where can people download your podcast?
It's just darkweekend.com, and then there's a link to the SoundCloud on there. But I have the latest show usually posted right on the front page. But if you just click on the little SoundCloud link, it'll take you to the whole page of all of them. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a really nice looking site. I must congratulate you on
it really
that.
Is.
It's
yeah, it
really
is
professional.
Is it broadcast over your over the station?
They have it on the web stream sometimes. Basically, the infomercials that they run over the weekend, for whatever reason, they can't air them on the stream. So they like to put actual programming in its place. So I actually have no idea when they air it on the stream, but that's where they put it now.
Do you broadcast from your house or you broadcast from the station? Where do you actually sit and do the show?
Yeah, I do it from the station.
From the station? Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice setup, I have to say.
All right.
Oh, and the other thing, yes, they are stealing guests. I am very much on the radar screen, and I've gotten some weird emails from them too, and they definitely want they're trying to figure out exactly how I'm putting things together, basically. So the feelers that were put out may not even be
words.
I'm sorry?
You're using consecutive words, something Nori can't do, so sorry.
You know what, man? Bateman, I wouldn't worry about that shit because...
It's a compliment.
Yeah,
it's the biggest
is.
Compliment you can get.
Well, it is. If they're paying attention to your podcast and what you're doing and the guests that you're getting and the content that you're able to achieve, don't worry about them. Fuck them. Just do your own thing. And that's my suggestion from a professional radio broadcaster like me. I'm Eddie Dean.
Fuck them. Or Skeeter?
Well, yeah, my concern. I guess it's not a concern because if the offer, I wouldn't even go that far. There was no official offer. There has been up to this point no official offer. But I do wonder if the feelers were put out there. You know, with Rusty Humphreys, there's always ulterior motives. You know.
Yeah. I think
and
we can
I think
all agree
it is possible,
on that.
I think it's possible that they put feelers out there to sort of keep me in a holding pattern. Like, oh, maybe they'll put me on. So I'll just shut up about it and, you know, not post disparaging things about Rusty Humphreys on the board.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible. But I don't believe that they have good and pure intentions. And like I said, there's one little piece of information I'm still waiting on, and that'll be able to... give me the final piece that I need to be able to say definitively yes or no. It's looking like a no.
I have a question. Speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Does Rusty Humphreys play a trombone, possibly?
He keeps going back to this. Jazz, did you have
I don't know. I really don't want to know anything about the guy's personal life.
Me either. Anybody else have any other questions for Mr. Bateman?
I'm not by the computer right now, but if anybody in the chat, I don't know.
Actually, Onan or Jazz or Dub, you guys have anything else?
Not anything of any.
He's answered everything.
Wait, just
say that rusty trombone fella sure got a pretty mouth.
Hypothetically speaking, could you bring up on your podcast in some way the underhandedness of Rusty Humphreys, or would that be completely?
That'd be kind of out of character though for your show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, don't get pulled down in that petty bullshit.
Oh, come on.
No, definitely not.
You got to rise above the rusty trombone, fellas.
That's what the forum's for. You know, you can throw all your questions and concerns on belgab.com.
Yeah, it is funny, though. This is the one thing that I forgot about the guest poaching. The couple of guests that I had on, the interview that I did with them did not yet air. Okay. The only reason anybody knew about this particular interview is because I posted about it on Belgab. And then all of a sudden, who shows up on the schedule but these two guys, very specific combination, by the way.
Interesting.
You know
who
what?
All of a sudden popped up on a Thursday. So I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Now, Rusty Humphreys had me send along audio that he and... fuck it. Lisa Lyon. for them to run up the flagpole, okay?
Welcome to
and
the dark
now
side.
The cynic in me is thinking, did they want this audio so they could try to, figure out exactly what I'm doing that people are like? Basically, are they listening to this for show prep for Rusty Humphreys?
Of course
because
they are.
A couple of the questions that he threw out there for this particular combination, well, I did an interview the previous week with one of those people, and he's asking a couple of the same questions I asked. Now, you could say, well, these are general enough questions, but he asked two very specific questions. The only questions he got out in an entire half hour that he got out without garbling and stuttering and muttering.
I'm amazed he just didn't play your audio.
Insert
his voice.
I'm so glad I don't work in the radio business and have to deal with this bullshit in the background.
It's incredible. It is incredible. And I'm giving you guys more than I've been able to post about, but oh my God, there's so much more. Holy shit.
A Gabcast exclusive.
We'll redact some
it
of
is,
this.
Actually.
That's scary.
But I was told by a very somebody who's been around the block many, many times, who knows that company inside and out, who is telling me... it very well could be Sean Hannity. Let's say it's Sean Hannity.
Okay.
It's not, but...
Doesn't your head explode when you talk to Sean Hannity?
So you've been talking to Rush Limbaugh then. Fuck.
Maybe it's Rush, but...
Geraldo Rivera.
You know, just be very, very careful. And I have some safeguards that I would need to be in place for me to consider doing it. But honestly, there are so many more items in the con column than the pro column. And the pro column, literally the one and only in there is 570 stations. That is the only one in the pro column.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it, man.
Don't go to the dark side, man. Don't join the empire.
I say we start filling the thread of potential guests with a whole bunch of names nobody's ever heard of.
Like this rusty drum.
And let Nuri try to dig those up.
That's a good idea.
Somebody actually had the hilarious, I think it was Popple, who had the hilarious idea of putting together a fake guest.
Oh, yeah. Basically, yeah, great.
Put together a website, you know, like kids are being, satanic messages that are coming through children's cartoons.
He would eat that shit up. Yeah. The kids. Yeah.
Kids,
and then approach them and say, you know, I think
that'd be awesome.
I think I'd make a great guest, and then I don't know who would do such a thing.
Maybe, perhaps Marianne could do something like that. The cat lady.
Well, listen, on that note, I got to run, but thanks for taking the time to talk, guys.
All right, man. Thanks,
hey, man.
Baby.
It's great talking to you. It's been
have a good one.
See you at Artichoke.
At Artichoke. Man, that sounds good. Like good pizza, man.
Artichoke. That was a great interview.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, good job, guys. Sorry I missed it.
So you don't have to go into work now, Onan, right? You took care of it?
No, but I... I don't have to go. I don't have to go to the hospital now.
That's good. That sounds kind of strange. But you work at the hospital.
No, actually, I work in the community.
Oh, okay.
We're considered a hospital without walls. And our clients we see in their residence or out in the community. But every so often, one of them needs either to be hospitalized or, you know, they're trying to hurt themselves. And but tonight, no, nothing like that tonight.
Right. Way to bring the show down, Onan.
It's my job. I do it well.
It's Aldous Burbank, everybody. What's up, Aldous?
Hey, I'm your fake guest, Bateman. Let's do it.
Bateman's up, gone, man. You just missed him.
What's your area of expertise there, Aldous?
I think we should discuss kitten recipes, you know?
Kitten?
What's your favorite kitten recipe, you sick bastard?
I like chili stuffed roasted kitten. But then again, I'm a vegetarian, so, you know, I just write the recipes. I don't taste the stuff.
You know, their tails are good to barbecue, and then you eat it like corn.
Nice.
Yeah, I just like eating any type of pussy.
Oh.
Zing! There you go. There's Jazz.
Yeah, who would have thought of that one?
We could do some episode about kids getting hurt on hot pizza rolls, things of this nature.
Mm. Well, you could do like extreme food, and then stories about kids burning their mouths on like kitten filled pizza rolls or something. I don't know.
Who's playing WR hockey?
250 just put kitten huffing. That's pretty damn funny.
Put the kittens in a bag and then huff them. Aldous, are you playing hockey in the background there?
No, that's my bong.
Oh, that's your bong. Okay.
But anyway, seriously, guys, you're looking at this through the wrong end of the binoculars. You got to turn those things around. Now check it out. This is Bateman's way into the Death Star.
Oh, the inside man thing.
However many nights Bateman is on per year, that's that many nights that Nuri is not.
Does it work like that? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Light bulb.
I think it's a trap.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
He should proceed extremely carefully before signing anything with that company. I have no firsthand knowledge about it, but if that article that we read about John B. Wells and how that whole thing went down, his firing or going in a different direction, I'd stay away from that company.
I don't see any upside for it, really. I mean, I don't know. I think in another year he will have quite an audience.
Yeah. I think everybody seems to agree that that Dark Weekend is the best podcast of the paranormal nature out there right now.
It's pretty good. I don't know if it's the best.
As far as...
it's the best, damn it.
As far as independent podcasts, yeah.
I really like Howard Hughes and The Unexplained.
See, I haven't listened to that one.
Yeah. And I kind of like, who's the guy, Jim, what's his face? And he does
he was on the spec sheet.
Jim Harold. Jim Harold. Yeah.
Jim Harold, yeah. He's got the campfire, and then he's got the paranormal podcast or whatever. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. Those are okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Have you guys listened to Astro Guy's podcast exposing pseudo-astronomy?
I've kind of looked through his blog, I think. I don't know if I've listened to one of his shows.
Well, if you want to get a laugh, he did a parody of Coast to Coast and George Norrie. And let me mute that. On his last episode, or the 100th episode, and it was hilarious. It was really funny. He had some guy call in, and some guy was making these outrageous claims about, Canada and the United States, you know, are really one country with the same currency. And the host was like, go on. You know, so he wasn't challenging him on these wild accusations and assertions that he was making in an attempt to parody George. And it was hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
It was fucking hilarious. It was really brilliantly done. So that's exposing pseudo-astronomy. And he has his own thread as well.
He does.
Have you listened to that, Aldous? Are you still there?
I am still here, and I must confess that sounds way too smart for me. But I look forward to hearing. I definitely listened to Bateman's cast. Last time I rode the train, you know, that's what I did. I ran through casts, and I think that's what I'm going to do with the astronomy podcast next time I ride.
Yeah, the 100th episode is a good one, and any episode where he debunks Richard C. Hoagland's science, quote-unquote, and his methods as far as how he comes up with his numbers and the data, science. How he reads the data,
data.
I recommend those too.
You know, I gotta say, I really enjoyed the astrophysics threat. I try to figure out what the hell they're talking about all the time. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's pretty humbling, isn't it?
I really love the conversation with Area 51 drone about what the hell happens to light in a reflective box kind of deal.
Yeah?
You know, that crap has bothered me forever. You know, you blast some light, and where does it go, right? How does it diminish? Why does the light eventually turn dark? The box eventually turned dark.
Does it?
I still don't understand it. Apparently, there's some diminishment of photons no matter what you do to where eventually the thing goes dark faster than you can tell. Am I not right?
Yeah, I guess if it's bouncing around at light speed.
You have to get Agent Orange in here to explain that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, guys, what's up?
I don't know.
I have a question for B-Dub. Hey, B-Dub.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on the show. I tuned in late, and it might have been you doing the Nori impression. Somebody did one.
I think that was me. I think that was me, Eddie Dean.
Yeah, well, because he was sucking.
Eddie. Yeah, because I was sucking and I was fumbling and otherwise making a mess of the Gabcast.
Well, let's be honest. Well, suck.
I'm so ashamed.
Better than Nori.
I'm so ashamed. Forgive me, guys.
One time.
B-Dub, I really wanted to ask you something. How's it going? I hate to use the word, but career-wise, work-wise, what's up?
Things are fine for now. Things are good.
In other words, mind your own business.
Yeah. Step off.
Yeah. Things are good. I'm just getting
Does
started.
Does your job
so.
Suck, though? I mean, that's the real question, because that What's was that? Like the first time we did an Ask Aldous, that was your question. So I'm just looking for an update here, bro.
Well, I'm no longer at the giant, shitty corporate shithole, so that's an improvement.
There you go.
Kind of doing my own thing right now. And so I actually sent out some invoices, and hypothetically, I should get paid at some point.
That's always good. Yeah. When you're self-employed, it's the only thing that sucks is you can't count on a steady paycheck.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
And your boss usually sucks when you're self-employed.
Yeah, and sexual harassment with a boss is really weird.
Hey, so, Aldous, you been watching the Winter Olympics?
No, but I've been listening to the talk about the Olympics. I feel like I'm pretty well informed that way.
What's your favorite event?
Oh, definitely the thing with the broom and the big metal thing going down the ice. Come on.
Curling.
Oh, there you go.
I don't get that spot.
Of course.
Yeah, just sweeping the ice, man. Sweeping the ice for the rock to slide down into some seemingly...
You know what I like about it, actually? It seems like something that I could do. I wouldn't need to be fit.
You don't really have to be in shape to do sweeping or throw rocks down the ice. That's actually one of my favorite events. I always look forward to it every Winter Olympics. I still don't understand all the rules and strategies involved, but for some reason, it's interesting to me.
Is it like lawn bowls? Do you know what that is?
Bowls.
Long
bowls.
Bowls?
Bowls.
It's not like my bowls at all, Jules.
Oh, I need to speak to an Aussie or a Brit. Call up Yorkshire Pud. Where is he? No, I like the luge. You know, the one where they sit on their back and that also looks like something that I could do.
That's like Olympics, Winter Olympics NASCAR.
Yeah, but you're lying down on your back. You're not doing anything.
So, you love watching the luge, but you really like it when they wreck.
Yeah. Well, didn't a guy died last year, I think.
Really?
Well, it's been a couple times where someone's died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same thing with the ski jump, too. You just, after you've seen about two or three people jump, it kind of loses its appeal. All you really want to do is, wait for the crashes.
Yeah, well, my wife and I were watching the snowboarding the other, and it's the snowboarding event where they go down the mountain and they do the tricks and all that. And we, after a few, we were just like, we wanted to see some crashes.
Yeah. Oh man, I saw a huge crash today. It was a girl freestyle snowboarding, and she got off on some 360, 480. I don't know what the hell the trick was, but she was spinning around in the air off a real high jump. And she came down and caught an edge, and her head, the back of her head, slammed
broke the helmet?
Yeah, busted the helmet wide open, and then she flipped around and smashed the front of her head on the ground, and looked really painful. But she ended up shaking it off and getting up and finishing the race, very slowly and gingerly, mind you. But she did finish it.
I kind of find the Winter Olympics is a bit of an elitist sport. It's sort of, you look at the medal tallies and there's not really a great spread amongst the nations.
You got to have money.
USA! USA!
It's the USA, it's the Nordic countries, and that's about it, you know. You don't see any African countries.
Well, they don't have
Jamaica.
Snow.
Yeah. Jamaica doesn't put out a really wicked Winter Olympics team.
Cool runnings.
Shocking. That's shocking.
Yeah, because I was watching, there was an Australian, he was in the luge, and they said, because we don't have a luge track in Australia, and they said that he trained on a concrete track. So he's not even training in the conditions that he's going to have to play. So.
Yeah. You know, not this, the last Winter Olympics, I fell in love with this cute little Australian girl.
Tara Bright?
Blonde hair, and she was a snowboarder or freestyle skier. But she was really hot, but she would train by building like a wooden ramp into a puddle or a lake or something. And she'd go down and she'd flip off it and do her tricks in the air and then land in this disgusting water lake and then climb out and do it again.
Yep. That's what we have to do down under. I mean, we've got some mountains, but you can't compare them to the mountains that you guys have and in Europe.
Do you even get? There's not any snow in Australia anywhere, is there?
Not down at sea level, so to speak. But we do have a few mountains, but they're nowhere near the, majestic peaks that you guys have. But no, we don't get snow here.
I got a majestic peak in my pants.
Yeah, a bulging bell curve.
What's the highest elevation in Australia?
Well, to answer that question, I'd have to go to Google.
You don't remember your geography class or Australian history class?
I know the highest mountain. I don't know the height of the highest mountain.
Well,
it's Mount Kosciuszko.
Okay. I guess it wasn't that important. I really don't want to know that. You don't have to Google it.
I'm not going to. But, yeah.
So, Dub.
Yeah.
You were saying something about weather or snow or why do people live where they live
Why do people live in places where it's painful? Like, you know, today it was like 2. Why do people live in areas where you could die just by going outside? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Your answer is, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
But how many people were born there and they're just used to it?
Yeah, I guess, you know. Why did people emigrate to the such cold ass climates?
You know, I have the same question every July and August in Phoenix. Why the hell am I still in Phoenix when it's this hot? It's miserable, and you can die from the heat just as easily as you can die from the, you know, below freezing temperatures.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I've managed to. Kill the podcast. Huh?
Yeah. Well, we're all distracted. We're looking at this video of Michelle Jenicke, the Australian sprinter from a few years ago, with her sexy warm-up dance. Oh, man. She's
not even a good athlete.
Friggin' adorable.
There was another one today that was, she was a luge or something, American luge, and she was dancing around and they were filming it. Her warm-up act. By listening to Beyonce or something.
Yeah, that's another thing that the Winter Olympics, you know, doesn't have the sexy outfits.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There was a Canadian luge. Someone was like, one of the women luge pilots or whatever they're called, was like getting ready to get the luge going and they're doing that thing where they squat down and they kind of thrust forward and her leotard or her whatever just split like right through the crack of her ass.
Right.
And it was just like, hello, thong. Hello, thong.
Is there a video of that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there is.
Oh, awesome.
You're going to have to find that.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to follow that up with something, but I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, Owen, are you still there? I think Onan's gone.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm
napping
in the middle of I'm doing some follow up on paperwork for this.
Oh, okay.
Shit that happens.
I'm glad that we're
video.
Hold on. Go ahead.
We're holding your attention.
Yeah. I think that saving somebody's life from suicide is much more important than commenting on the Gabcast. So.
Well, thank you for that. But actually, it's policy. If I don't make certain notes within a certain amount of time, the company gets in trouble and I get in trouble. So we have an oversight board that, you know, when certain things happen, we've got to make notations real quick. So just the way it is.
Yeah, so I found that video.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. She's hot.
You know, I was looking at
Sorry.
What? Hello.
How come I'm not seeing this video you guys are watching? Oh, you posted on the chat room?
Slow motion.
You can't.
Well, I put it in the Skype window too.
Oh, okay.
I'll put it in the chat. If you have.
I think Dub put it in the chat as well.
I did, yeah.
You know that one link that Jazz, you posted it in one of the threads about the before and after drug pictures of people on meth.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one that a girl looked completely different. I mean, 30 or 40 pounds lighter after only a few months.
Yeah, it's scary.
Here it comes.
And you know, another thing that was strange, that there was a couple girls that they completely shave off their eyebrows, or maybe their eyebrow hair fell out because of all the meth they were doing, but they pencil it in. I've seen a lot of like young women have like these pencil thin eyelashes or eyebrows.
I think that's a style choice, isn't it?
Is that, I think you're right, but I don't understand that.
No.
Is that at all attractive to anybody to have like pencil thin eyebrows that look like a V, upside down V?
Not to me, but maybe one of the girls in the chat room might want to call in and give their opinion.
Yeah, if they do.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. Anybody want to call into the show tonight before we wrap it up? The number is 602-399-7131. Oh, I forgot. We got Aldous on hold here. Aldous, you still there?
Yo, what's happening, my man?
Hey, man, I had to mute your channel because there was some pillow fight going on in the background or something.
Sexy.
You better
time.
Believe it. Hey, I have an answer for why people live in Bismarck, North Dakota and Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, because of heaters and air conditioners.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
And blankets.
But, you know, people lived in Phoenix before there were air conditioners or really efficient ones. I remember stories of how they used to have big what are the thick heavy rugs that they soaked them in candles. Water, and then they would, it was basically swamp coolers, but during monsoon season it was kind of brutal.
The evaporative coolers do not work when the relative humidity or the dew point reaches a certain amount. I think it's like above 55 or 60 or something like that. But yeah, when the monsoons come in and there's a lot of humidity in the air, swamp coolers do not work.
Nope.
And you're right. My parents lived in Maryvale when I was born, and they actually lived.
Swamp coolers were big then.
Yeah, that's all they had. They had no ACs. You could not afford. Maybe they had them, but people couldn't afford to put ACs on homes.
You could afford the air conditioner. You couldn't afford the utility bill every month because of it.
Yeah.
My first house in Phoenix, I didn't have air conditioning. I just had a swamp cooler.
That's brutal, man. I cannot imagine that. It's okay for, you know, part of the summer, maybe half of it, but the other half, forget it. It's just hell.
A good 2.5 months.
We were
months,
raised on swamp
brutal.
Coolers when I was a kid, but the deal is that Phoenix, because of the pavement and the heat retention, is just always killer hot.
Yeah, it's like 5 to 10 degrees hotter. Well, maybe not that much, but yeah, it is.
At least, yeah.
It retains the heat.
Really, seriously. And you go right outside into the natural areas of the desert that still exist, particularly where the tree zone still exists. And it's pretty chill. That's kind of where I was raised with swamp coolers, and we never knew we were hot, was the deal. I mean, I figured that out when I was in my 20s. I was like, what?
That's pretty easy to know you're hot.
That's no, really. That's an interesting.
I really never did. I'm not kidding. We were raised in it. My white kid friends were as dark as I was in the summer because we never would come out of the desert unless we were forced to. And we, as kids, we were so, I think, kind of like stupid that it took me a long time to actually figure out what the hell people were complaining about. I'm like, oh, I kind of get it. Oh, you mean like the fact that the sun's out beating on you and shit while you're out riding your bikes? Well, right, but seriously, people wouldn't have moved in the numbers they did, and the industry wouldn't have evolved on swamp coolers, you know? It would have remained like Podunk Town, more like it was kind of when my grandparents were growing up there.
Yeah.
Pretty small. The first swamp cooler, public swamp cooler, as I recall, was in my grandfolks' time when some particular theater put up a huge canvas that they kept soaked by keeping the bottom like in a big vat of water so it wick absorbed, and then they had these big fans blowing past and, you know, by that canvas sheet down onto the crowd below, and my grandparents would pay whatever it was, nickel or quarter, to go in there just to feel that cool air, you know.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I don't remember being bothered by the heat when I was a youngster growing up in Phoenix.
Right.
I mean, I used to ride my bike, play, you know, it was the summertime. We had the school. We didn't have school. So,
I mean,
you know,
if you move there, it must feel like hell, right? If you're not from there, but you're raised there and you have to figure out what people are all upset about.
I don't know, man. I remember a lot of the summers in Encanto Park, and there were no little kids running around in the summertime. I used to hike Squaw Peak and Camelback Mountain.
Yeah.
And you didn't see a lot of kids out there on the hot days. So
were you looking? Were you specifically going to Encanto Park to look for children, Onan?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, God.
What was that, Brokeback Mountain?
I don't know what Encanto Park's like now, but it used to really be a great place to go.
I haven't been there in years. But yeah, it was a great park.
I don't remember what time of the year it was, but many times early in the morning there'd be a low-hanging fog throughout the park. It was pretty nice. Anyway, it used to be a great place, but that was in the 80s. I don't know what it's like now. Yeah, might not even be there.
I think it's still there. I don't know if it's as popular as it was back then. You know, there's an amusement park and rides and all sorts of cool stuff down there. A huge lake that snaked all the way through the place, an amphitheater, all sorts of cool stuff. But I haven't been down there in years.
Yeah. Well, run down memory lane. Anyway, I think maybe we should start to wrap this one up, guys.
I got one more thing.
Okay.
It'll be quick. Valentine's Day is coming up, guys.
Yes, it is.
All right. That's it.
What do you want?
That's it.
Are you fishing for a present?
Yeah, I want you to. I want somebody to ask me to be their Valentine.
Well,
God damn it. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be all alone. And you guys don't even care.
Maybe this would be a good time to encourage one of our female forum members to join us for the next Gabcast. Mix it up a little bit. It's starting to become like a
sausage fest.
Yeah, a little bit of a bromance kind of thing going on here.
That's true. There are a lot of women on Belgab, which is great. They were even talking about starting their own podcast too.
Yeah, I'd listen to it.
Yeah,
we could need to get either Seraphim or Unscreened or Redacted to join us.
Why not all three?
Yeah, threesome.
So, you're an ambitious fella.
Well, no, you guys won't be there. It'll just be me and them.
It'll just be you and four women.
That's right.
Fucker. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
I'm good with it. Go.
I'd subscribe to that.
I, you know, more power to you.
No, there's absolutely no way I could handle. I'm going to stop right there.
Especially once their time of the month all aligns. Look out.
Yeah.
I'm not going down that road either.
Yeah, I'm not saying a goddamn thing. Thanks, Jazz, for ruining the Gabcast. It's been ruined so many times today. I think it's just about that time anyway. Don't you guys think?
Yeah.
Time for lunch.
Yeah. Jazz wants to go to lunch, so. Could you end the show so I could eat something, please? God damn it, you Americans. All right, this has been the Gabcast. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to Bateman and Aldous for calling in tonight. Thanks to Onan, Jasmunda, and B-Dub. Anything else?
Thank you.
Anybody else I need to thank?
We need to thank Rusty Trombone.
Yeah, Rusty Trombone.
We need to thank Rusty Trombone and Cletus, the guy who arrested Onan and B-Dub.
I'll go get you guys next time.
Not to mention the guy who had the limp penis.
Yeah,
thanks for reminding me.
Get your hand off my penis!
All right, guys.
We'll see you next time.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
All right.
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? Now, get your hands off.